Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2024, and Easter is just around the corner. Next week, we're going to have a little bit of a special for Easter. Dr. Torbert will be on, and so I hope you tune in. We'll talk about what's happening in this world and why we need to say a prayer for our country, say a prayer for the world. So we'll talk about that next week. And as always, I still love my country, and I'm still afraid of my government. Our government is so crazy. But before we go there, let's go ahead and get started with the American Creed, what we need to remember. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. All enemies. And that's something that we have to really think about who the enemies are. So that's why tonight, calling this, what does evilness really look like? What is we have so many enemies within. If we just look and see, it is our own government that's killing us. And we're sitting here taking it. We're doing nothing. This is the tyranny that we were warned about when this country was founded and all the different things. They tried in there between the Declaration why the tyranny we were dealing with, why we wanted to be independent. And then a constitution that was supposed to help guarantee that freedom. A lot of people don't really think about that, but the constitution is supposed to support that declaration of what our independence is. Right now, I see a very big gap between the two. The constitution by itself, if we followed it, would do the majority of things we need it to do. I do think there's a couple of amendments we could put in there, like term limits and something that defines a little bit more about that ethics of those who are in public office. You're not supposed to go there for all the insider trading. You spend millions and millions of dollars to get elected to an office that doesn't pays a lot, but doesn't pay that much. And you come out rich. You come out millionaires. There's just something sick about it. We have some very sick people that are supposed to be working on our behalf, but they're not. And it's just very sad, and we have to realize we are in such jeopardy because of the enemies from within, how they have sold us out in so many ways, and they continue to. And that's kind of what, you know, the topic's going to be somewhat general, a variety of things that are happening right now. And if anybody has anything else they wanted to talk about, feel free to call in and chime in. The number is 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. Press 1 if you want to speak. If you don't press the 1, I will think you're out there listening on the phone and not wanting to join the conversation. Let's see. Here's a few things that were just kind of coming out today. Now, there was a hearing at SCOTUS in reference to information being squashed from about COVID. Specifically about COVID and how it harmed people. And I only know that they had this hearing and there were some people who weren't real happy with what they were hearing. I don't think there's been a decision made. So if anybody has any more updates on what was happening with that hearing today at the Supreme Court, I would be curious to know about it, or I'll try to find out some more before we have the call next week. Because it almost sounded like they thought the government was okay to be going out there and blocking some of this information. The one justice, the one who doesn't know what a woman is, couldn't define what a woman was, an ordeal. Somehow was saying that the government was the best person, the government should be the ones to control the message kind of thing in reference to COVID and whatever. But, of course, we know all they did was lie about COVID. There's been nothing but lies. Everything, even including now they're now saying the long COVID wasn't real. It was all a fake. So, which many of us knew any, you know, I didn't get the vaccine. I didn't get the jab. I didn't believe anything they said. I wasn't going to go run out there as soon as they said this, said about getting the jab. And little by little, I was out there finding out, just like many of us were, of what garbage was really going on. And they say a prominent cardiologist is saying the vaccine should have been told on 2021. Who do you think that cardiologist is? They didn't want to put his name out there, which I'm sure it was Peter McCullough. But anyway, everything to do with what they, our own government is killing us. COVID is just one example. And the only thing I'm going to talk about when it comes to the COVID specifically and Trump, he's being warned that he shouldn't be out there promoting that jab. He, for the life of me, this is where it's like, Trump, okay, the mistake may be made with the warp speed and all this other garbage back then and how you can justify what you did back then. Okay, we get it, apologize, or say whatever it was, admit that something wasn't quite as it seemed, explain why you stopped talking about hydroxychloroquine. But he's out there still promoting it from what I'm hearing. I myself have not heard him promote the jab. I've heard him say on one of his rallies that they didn't get the credit they should have gotten for COVID. And, I mean, he thinks that because he got the jab out there in this record time that somehow that was a success. No, it wasn't a success because a lot of people died. Millions and millions died, and millions are injured, paralyzed, lives destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. So it wasn't a success. So Mr. Trump, President Trump, please shut up. Nothing personal, but shut up when it comes to the jab. Admit that we have to do further research. Wayne Allen Root was talking about some of this on his show this weekend, and he was saying something. He went through and, you know, things that Trump should say about it. But the one that caught my attention the most was that when I get back into office, as in when I am elected your president, we will set up this investigation, whatever it was called, committee, some group, I'm not going to say committee, but whatever, and it would be head up by Robert F. Kennedy because he's definitely the guru of the COVID. He would head it up, and they would go and find out what really happened and do something to that effect, which I think would be a very good thing for him to say. But nobody mentions, and I said it last week, as I'll say it one more time here, the success that he did have was how fast he rallied the troops, if you will. He put the ban on the travel. He got the ship out there for the medical ship for New York. They didn't do anything with it. I think, was it two or three patients on it while they were, you know, hauling the bodies away from the nursing homes. And then getting the masks and getting the respirators. And there were all these kind of things that he, all hands on deck, putting things out there, getting things in place. Those were all very good things that he did. Excuse me. But he has to explain, well, he has to just admit that something didn't go right with the vaccine. There needed to be more testing. And it's not a, he doesn't have to go and attack Big Pharma. We all know he's not going to attack Big Pharma right now because of the money involved. At least that's my opinion. I think most people would agree he's not going to say too much against Big Pharma. But that we need to see what was done, where were the problems with the COVID vaccine. How would we prevent this? And the other part he has to explain is he was out there talking about hydroxychloroquine as a treatment, as a therapy, and then all of a sudden he stopped. Why did he stop? Those of us that are paying attention know why he stopped. He could not put it out there as a they could not put it out there as emergency use authorization for the vaccine if there were known therapies, known treatments for it. And so that's where the real question comes in. So you had to lie or stop talking. Not that you lied. You never said it was a bad thing. You never said hydroxychloroquine was bad. But you stopped saying it was good. You stopped saying it cured it cured that one woman that you talked about. You stopped saying that. Why did you stop saying that? who told you to shut up and why did you do it? Okay? Because the COVID stuff is going to come after him in this regular part of the election, whatever you want to call it, if we're officially past the primary at this point. Technically, I'm supposed to vote in the primary tomorrow here in Florida. And I'll probably do it just for the fun of it, even though it's somewhat irrelevant at this point. Okay, what else? Anyway, that's the thing with COVID. And I mentioned it last week, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that roundtable, it was excellent. And there was something else, that, some other stuff that is going on, but the main thing I was hearing just recently, long COVID, not real. It's never been real. It's just another one of the many lies. And the Supreme Court hearing is in reference to free speech and how it impacted with COVID. This is like the first COVID case, I guess, that really actually made it to the Supreme Court because the person was being forced against their will about what they had to take, this kind of stuff. So it was a very bad thing. Now, the other thing that was out there today, they're trying to charge, if they're not trying, they're out in New York, $464 million for bond. I mean, anybody, this is so evil what they're doing. Again, what does evilness look like? We are surrounded by it. And this is where I go back and, you know, hopefully Dr. Tolbert can explain it to me next week. Why would God bless this country when you have evilness like this in this country, the evilness that has taken over so much of this country? It's just absolutely disgusting. And then I guess it's Tennessee right now is doing something in reference to ESG, where, and Florida has done stuff in the past too, to prevent them, the banks, from blocking people from getting funding and things like that based on ESG stuff, the environmental social governance stuff. They can't, they're doing stuff. It hasn't been passed, and I think they're supposed to be voting on it tonight. But not too many other states have done anything about it. We need to shut down the ESG. It's just another piece of garbage. Yeah, there's all sorts. You're going to hear the word bloodbath a lot now because Trump made some comment about China and the cars in Mexico and this and that and whatever else. And, of course, the media totally takes everything out there. The media is twisting it to make it sound like he's promoting another Jan 6 bloodbath and stupid things like that. But these are people that are evil. This is evil stuff to go and spread things, taking it totally out of context of what it was about and that type of thing. So this is all to do with the taking away American jobs, giving them to China, and who's going to make the cars in Mexico and then ship them here. And Trump was saying something that he was going to charge 100% tariff and et cetera, et cetera. That's another, excuse me, something that I've been involved in within the past, and we're going to hear more about this. I've heard it several times in the past week for the Republicans to be doing this. Excuse me. The Republicans to be out there doing the postcard campaign. So be prepared. You're going to be hearing some things. I've got a bunch of postcards. I've got postcards that say, don't tread on me, and I've got postcards that have the American flag, and I'll probably get some other ones. But as we're trying to reach out or report or get information out there, we're using postcards, and especially when it comes to some of these public figures, because you put the postcard out there, you hand write it, anybody can read it. It gets read along the way. In addition, whoever it's actually addressed to, when they get it, they don't have to open the envelope to read it. It's right there in front of them. So it's actually a very good way to do this, and it's also one of the cheaper things because postcards aren't very expensive to mail out. So plan on listening to that. And I got it listed out here, Obama and the a movie that was put out at the end of last year. I never watched it, Leave the World Behind. This apparently sort of ties into what people are saying about April 8th. I don't know how many people out there have heard about this April 8th emergency. I do put the information out there on the show page, and I give you a link to it, what the solar eclipse, how the solar eclipse isn't what's going to hurt anybody, and they'll probably try to get people confused on that. I mean, you're not supposed to stare into it and all that kind of stuff if you don't want to go blind. But the solar eclipse isn't going to be what's going to harm, but it's the other things they're going to do because a lot of people will be outside looking and all this other kind of stuff. And you got to kind of watch it to see, are we this evil? Are the people of this country this evil, and they're going to do this kind of stuff to destroy people? It really is so sick. And the sad part is, based on everything I've seen in the past decade or so here, that people are this evil. It's a really sick thing to think that, and this is, why would God bless people who would do this to each other? Why would God bless this country when you have allowed, you have promoted and allowed this evilness to take over? I want somebody to answer that one. And again, I hope Dr. Tolbert will be able to answer that next time. But Leave the World Behind, it's, what little bit I saw of the trailer was very interesting. I may try to actually watch that this week. I have, if anybody else has watched it, let me know about it. And let's see the other thing up here. I mentioned the Easter show next week. And the other part, whatever, with everything that's going on, the human condition, evilness, what does evilness look like? Are people just so evil, you know, in nature that we will have to destroy each other? In some crazy way, because people are evil, will the United States, after this next election, continue to be as we are? Or are we going to split up into two or three smaller countries? Will continue to have one country that truly believes in liberty and follows the Constitution? Or will we be in the New York and company, and California can be out there in their own socialist, communist world routine? Is that what's going to happen? How are we going to deal with this? So that's another thing. And then the other one, which I've kind of, you know, if you look on the show page, you'll see the variety of topics. But one of the big things, and I did send an email out about this a couple days back, Tyson Foods. Tyson Foods is going to shut down their Iowa plant, 1,200 people, I think it was, that are going to get laid off there, 1,200. They're also getting ready to shut down a couple of plants in some other states, apparently. And they're going to hire the illegals. Of course, they call them migrants. They're going to hire the migrants. Now, can you imagine, with everything going on in New York, with these migrants, illegals, and the people in Chicago and New York who are all suffering with no jobs and all the other garbage going on that they're dealing with, that they're going to move these jobs to New York, and they're not going to hire the New Yorkers, they're not going to hire the Americans, they're going to hire the illegals. Hey, can you tell me how that's not evil? The other thing that I was told today, I found out, when it comes to Tyson, which I sent an email out saying boycott Tyson Foods, which won't be that difficult for me to do, but boycott them. But also Sara Lee and Jimmy Dean are also part of that same company, Tyson Foods. So you would need to boycott them as well. And if you go out to the Tyson page, the phone number, there's two different phone numbers. You can call the customer service, and if I can find it here before I hang up, before the show's over, I'll give it to you. You can call the customer service, and you can call their headquarters, and, of course, you can send them some kind of emails. But we definitely need to have everybody call Tyson and say America first. You're actually going to sacrifice American workers so you can hire cheap illegal labor and also the garbage. And there's a whole other stuff to it. I know Karen was doing some research, and I see her out there, so I'm going to get her. She can give an update of this work opportunity tax credit, which actually this apparently started back in Obama's days, part of this did, and they extended it. They've gone out there and extended it, where they're going to give corporations so much money for hiring the illegals. Our tax dollars are going to pay to hire illegals and do everything for the illegals while the veterans get nothing, while we sacrifice our own people. This is evilness. Why would God bless this country if this is the evilness these people do to one another? I just don't get it. It's just beyond me to understand. And I guess I've just never been that evil myself. I just don't think that way. But we have got some very, very sick and evil people out there. Absolutely disgusting. Which, of course, is the U.S.-sponsored invasion, which all ties into it. $35 billion to convert commercial buildings into rental houses, the projects, whatever you want to call them, for the illegals. Once again, our money is being taken. They're using our money to fly these people in. They're using our money to come let them all invade our country. They're using our money to pay for their jobs. It's evil. They're trying to kill us. I mean, what the destruction of the American culture, of what this country was founded on. They're just determined to do this. And it's just sick. Absolutely sick. So I just don't get it. I truly don't get how people can be this evil, but this is it. If this isn't evilness, what is? And then we go, you know, and I'm talking about the government-sponsored invasion, government-sponsored corruption, the corruption of election fraud, the corruption of the public-private partnerships, the corruption of the NGOs, of course, the nationwide invasion and the plandemic, giving away our sovereignty to the World Health Organization, all these different things that are destroying us. And, of course, public education, I'm not sure you can get much more evil than that. They're just trying to destroy us. These are sick, sick people. It's just so evil. So evil. I see a couple of you out there. I'm going to go to Karen because I know Karen's got an update on the Tyson food stuff and some other things going on. And then I will go to, looks like Joe out there. Joe, so please hold on and we will get to you. And Karen, go ahead and give us a quick update on what you know what's going on and then we'll go to Joe.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you, Sally, for having me on. It's always wonderful, and I certainly appreciate it. And it is a lot more in-depth than what I realized when I started researching it. First of all, Americans hear what is they say, these are jobs Americans won't do, and we need cheap labor. So that's what they're alluding to. What they really should say is, we need cheap labor, and we want new voters. So that's the bottom line. Well, what does this cheap labor really mean? It means that Americans are subsidizing everything so that the corporations don't have to pay them a lot of money. And what do I mean by everything? Well, let's take an illegal. He will qualify for Section 8 housing at the taxpayer's expense. He'll get food stamps at the taxpayer's expense. He'll qualify for free, no deductible, no copay health care at taxpayer's expense. His children will get free breakfast and free lunch at school at taxpayer's expense. He will get a bilingual teacher and books at taxpayer's expense. And if they become disabled in any way, they'll get Social Security at taxpayers' expense. So all of this, and insurance, health insurance, all of these things that these illegals get equate to maybe a quarter of their paycheck, maybe even more. So the employer does not have to pay the illegal that much because Americans may be paying $1,200, $1,300, or in some places $2,000, $3,000 a month for rental income. These guys are paying maybe $800 a month. So their expenses are low and the company doesn't have to pay much. Well, then to add insult to injury, they also, these corporations, get tax subsidies. Well, how does that work? There's a tax called the WOTC, and that is the Work Opportunity Tax Credit. And it was extended until, it was supposed to be up, but it was extended until December 2025. And it's being used by the corporations to hire people in certain categories. And once they're hired, they follow the DIE principle, you know, diversity, inclusion and equity principle. And then the corporation gets a subsidy of $10,000 per individual per year. Think about that. So if the person is getting the job and maybe the job is a $30,000 a year job, the corporation will then get back $10,000 in a subsidy from the federal government, from the IRS. Well, you would think that's really horrific, but it goes even further. There's another subsidy called the Workforce Housing Tax Credit, and major corporations can build low-income housing for their workers, and they will get another tax subsidy on the backs of the taxpayers. So they can turn around and they can offer their workers a low rental for the low-income housing because they're getting a tax from this IRS. In addition to that, I mean, this is beyond. Biden is now printing $35 billion a year, and he is dispersing that to corporations and developers to take commercial buildings that, of course, they have pushed the small businesses out of business, and now they have all this commercial real estate, which is going into foreclosure. And they are offering it to the corporations and the developers, and they are giving them another subsidy on the back of the taxpayers to turn this commercial real estate into dormitory-style housing for the illegals. So what does that cheap labor really equate to? It equates that the taxpayer pays to send these people all over the country to steal our jobs, to get our subsidies, while we, the people, are having vets that are living in the street and low-income people who are forced out of their apartments and are living in their cars. So where does this make any sense, except when you look at the last thing, which is they want more voters? So what does this actually do? Well, now that the Supreme Court says that you don't have to put a person who is a non-citizen that can be counted in the census, by loading up these cities, they get more representation in the House of Representatives, and pretty soon the House will flip from red to blue because more people will be coming in from all over the world, and then they can be counted in the census. So to me, that's the bottom line. This would almost guarantee the fact that they would be able to count these people as on the census, and everything will go up in for their representation. So we have a real big, I don't even know what to say. All I do know is that in order to accomplish all of this, the Biden administration is printing $1 trillion every 90 days, $1 trillion to cover all of this. And the idiot Republicans sit in Congress and do things. Blows my mind.
It's friends like them who needs enemies. Republicans are so disgraceful. They truly are. This is, and I guess that's the other part. And I know Trump is out there pushing that we have to change who's the Republican Party, who's in there. But I don't think he's probably being as vocal on that one either. So you can hold on 1 second. Joe's been out there. Let me go ahead and get Joe in here and see if he's got any thoughts on this one. But it just the true evilness of it all. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Sally. Karen did a good job. Let's see how long she took, because you said it was supposed to be brief. So wait a minute. Oh, I think she made it brief. The thing is,
Karen's got more to say. She's gonna say more before it's over.
she only took 6 minutes. Okay. So here's the thing. When you're talking about evil, and I'm hoping it's a rhetorical question when you're asking, where does this evil come from? Does this evil really exist to its extent? Yeah. Where it comes from is our DNA. When you take a look around the world and you're seeing this kind of action, which has been happening to people for centuries and centuries worth of time, in every country around the world, what's the common denominator? It isn't nature. It's because it's different countries. But it's people. It's the DNA. We, even though we're not, I wouldn't say that we are born demon seeds, but when the opportunity comes along for people to become greedy as a result of the innate selfishness that we're born with, we take advantage of it. That is a very simple but not simplistic explanation of where this evil comes from. People become greedy. People fall for honey traps. They want money. They want status. They want power. That is obvious. That is well known. That is the explanation. We are an evil race. Can anybody dispute that?
I would definitely have a hard time disputing it. All of a sudden I'm hearing an echo. I'm not sure if someone's on the speakerphone or what. But
that might be me. I'm going to put myself on mute.
Okay. And then I know so many good people, and I don't believe people are born evil. We are definitely a product of an environment. But there is greed is definitely the root of all evil. Power, between greed and power are the root of all evil. And what happens in the society when we have, ultimately this comes down to the faith thing as well. When you truly have no core faith, no core belief, you don't believe in any kind of higher supreme being, when your belief is, well, I can kill somebody, it really doesn't matter. So it's not people, where do your rights come from, our creator, that type of thing. And ultimately, if you do not believe in any kind of higher being, what dictates how your behaviors? Now, when you go in the wild, the animals, how do they survive? They're just living day by day. They don't have to pay any taxes and all that kind of fun stuff, and they don't have air conditioning. But they go day by day, finding their food source, doing what they have to do to survive. There are a couple of animals, I think lions, a few of them, who truly do fight for control to some degree over a herd or something. But for the most part, animals just, the rabbits don't fight each other. They just go find something to eat and they go away. You know, there's a difference in the way they survive. They don't have that same evil instinct like humans do. They just give me some food and, hey, you got enough food, I'll share. Whatever, to some degree, you know. Not the evilness, not the selfish, greedy evilness. Karen, do you want to chime in on that?
Yes, I wanted to say it's evil, but it's also greed and power. And I think that what has happened now is that the globalists have become so powerful that they're power hungry. They control all of the money. They control just about everything, and they really don't care. It's just that they have just become, oh, it's so nice to be able to push people around and to make them do, you know, what we say. And then they lie to the people. For example, when was the last time we saw real economic numbers? What is the real unemployment of Americans? Because all they're doing is taking the unemployment and they're saying, oh, look, Biden got 200,000 people were employed this past month, like 200,000+, but they don't break it down and they don't say that most of it are part-time jobs. Most of those jobs, two-thirds of them went to the illegals, only one-third went to the American citizens, and then they spew out this propaganda, which the left will buy and say, oh, look, isn't Biden doing the wonderful job? Well, look at all the jobs that we have, and look at this business and that, without hearing the truth. So they take the propaganda, they fold it together in order to maintain power. And the power, unfortunately for them, is evil. And then when you think about it, too, what are the illegals doing? They're telling us, oh, well, they're propping up economy. No, they're not. They're sending most of the money overseas back to their home country. And the rest of it, they're buying junk from the same corporations to increase their profitability so they can be on the stock exchange and look like they're making a lot more money. In the meantime, it comes back to we the people are printing $1 trillion every 90 days so that they can take our money, send it to their home country, the illegals, send it to their own country, or buy stuff from the same corporations that want to do us harm. I really believe that we're in a spot where they really want to replace us. We are use to them.
Well, yeah, of course they do.
The blacks and the LGBTQ and the Hispanics, we're no longer the favored chosen ones. We're being replaced by the electors, the tax subsidies, and the votes. And I
transhumanism is all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And since
Joe's chiming in. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. And since the show's about evil, again, when you focus on the globalists, people probably assume, or at least it's implied there, that the evil people are only in the hands and the minds and the bodies of the globalists. No. You all know of girlfriends who have cheated on the husbands, husbands who have cheated on their wives. You know of the mean girls when you were growing up in school. You know of guys with big mouths and who are greedy. It is a part of human nature. It doesn't matter what religion that you believe in. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or whatever, or a Protestant, et cetera. They all practice the same thing, evil. Okay.
I'm not sure I would totally go agree with that one, but and I'll chime in why. A couple of things there, and I see we got Joe out there, and we've also got Cindy, so I want to get them into this. Something that someone told me years ago, and when they first said it, I just didn't have the same appreciation for it, as I do today. What makes you strong will also make you weak. Your ability to do a lot of things can also be turned against you and used for evil. Now, when it comes to the religion and the beliefs, I mean, do you believe it's right or not a law? We're not talking about what the law says, because we know laws don't really mean much these days anyway. It's not about the law. It's about, do you believe that it's right, that you have the right to go kill somebody because you don't like what they said? Do you believe you have the right to take a young woman's head and smash it up against the concrete sidewalk because of the way they looked? There's something embedded in some individuals. What would make them say, it's brainwashing from society. It's a culture. It's not strictly inherent. I don't believe it's inherent. I do believe a lot of it is what you believe and what you are educated to do. I was never taught to go around killing people. I was taught that you could, in self-defense, you could do that or whatever to protect yourself from being killed or whatever. But you don't, because you didn't like what somebody said or the name they called you or the bully on the field routine on the playground, you couldn't go out there and kill them. You couldn't go take a stone and bash them in the head just for the fun of it because you didn't like them. That wasn't the way I was raised. Those aren't the core beliefs I was raised with. And those core beliefs were based on a religious foundation that God doesn't want that, doesn't believe that. Some religions believe that women have no rights, and the woman is the right of the property of the man. I don't believe that. However, if you're in that culture, you're going to treat women differently. Women are treated differently in other cultures. And why? Because that's whatever they believe, whatever Allah is telling them or whoever, whatever it is, that belief. So I think there's a connection there. I don't think I don't think you can do that, but we are definitely a product of our environment. And humans are definitely social animals. People are definitely... they want to be part of the crowd. How many people voted for a black president because they wanted to be part of history and they wanted to be part of that? Oh, look at me. I voted for a black person who was actually half black and half white, but that's another story. But I voted for a black person, and they had to do it because of that. White guilt. There's a book out there by a black man called White Guilt. They do stuff because of being convinced that being white is evil and that you need to go out there and do everything, change the other way around. No one cares about black people who own slaves. They only care about the whites who own slaves. There's definitely a head game going on. I don't know if you want to add anything else that real quick, but I do want to go to Joe and get Cindy in here.
Yeah, just for a second. Yeah, well, the indoctrination, the propaganda, and the cultural influences of every culture is, of course, interacting with the DNA. When you say, and you made a kind of subtle allusion to, I would guess, the Muslim culture, the Arabic culture, in which women are properties of the husbands. Wasn't too far long ago in the 50s that wives were actually property of the husbands here in America. When the law changed, and women can get credit cards, and you didn't need the signature of the husbands to get a credit card and go out and get a job, laws began to change even faster. So in all cultures, regardless of what the religions are, or lack of religions, it has happened. I'm sure if you take a look at the historical viewpoints of just about the major empires of the world, women were considered property, including America. So I wanted to say that, and I like to continue on, but you do have people waiting.
Yeah, and the role of the woman in our society is a major part of the discussion, too, how we, the feminist movement and things like that, were the destruction of the family. And there's definitely what the whole part about the woman couldn't get the credit card, a woman couldn't get a driver's license, a woman couldn't vote. It was definitely a different attitude about the role of what the woman was in that society. And we, of course, we've changed the role of women in society, and I'm not sure it's been totally better. But with that being said, let's see if Joe has anything to add. I'm sure he has something to add. Let's see what he has
well,
to
add. Well, that's very interesting. Hey, you know, that's playing into the paradigm. That's the way of thinking. First of all, 100 years ago, women weren't chained to the stove. Men weren't whipping them with whips. And they weren't property of men. Men respected women back 100 years ago. Today, they don't. Okay, we gave women more rights today, but today, look what's happened. We, you know, so, and the Bible says in the end times, women will rule over their men. So, again, you know, so we're just fulfilling prophecy, and that's what's coming through. You can't anybody can deny it all they want. You know, the over 457 prophecies over the last 50 years have been fulfilled. You know, so you can't deny it. But, again, the characteristics, the moral compass of our society is like, that was a good point you made, Sally, about, you know, you're taught not, you know, not to hurt other people. You have a moral compass, you know, and a lot of other cultures don't have that because they haven't been taught the gospel. They haven't been taught the same thing that we have. They're brought up differently. So they have a different moral compass. And that's why we go out and preach the gospel to all the world, and that's why they have missionaries all around the world bringing the good news to them, so they can be saved, you know. But because today in society, yeah, we have an evil that's overtaking our planet, and that's only because, look, it was foretold, you know, it's going to happen. Now, can we have an awakening? Can we have a spiritual awakening and turn the tide and stand up against the new world order? Sure, God will give us a reprieve. He said it. Turn, repent, turn your ways, you know, turn your face away, you know, and God won't stop ignoring us, you know, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. So, you know, we're all going downhill. It's not evolution, it's devolution.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, and so overall right now, do you see any type of moral change where some people do seem to be realizing what's happening and realizing that we've lost our way, if you can, that all of a sudden the material isn't as important as maybe we think it is. Maybe getting back to some of those core values that taking care of each other, which of course the church, when you think about what's happened to this culture, the churches are businesses. They're not churches. The churches don't want to stand up and say anything either, even though they're the ones. There, you know, freedom of religion was supposed to be a really big deal, but look what we've done to religion. I mean, what's your take on what the role of the churches are these days, or how they have either hurt or harmed us? I say they've harmed us.
Amen.
Well,
they've been bought out.
Yeah. Well, the church is what's the Bible say in the end times. Jesus is outside the door trying to get in. He's knocking. He can't get in the church. He's not in the church no more. You know, so that's just fulfilling prophecy, watching it right before our very eyes.
And the other thing with the churches, too, is how we allowed at some point, I don't know when it all really changed, becoming a tax-exempt entity, whatever, entities, all the garbage, and the church is now afraid to say anything because they're going to lose their tax-free status. The church shouldn't be in a tax-free, that shouldn't even be there to begin with. How did we allow ourselves to let them do this kind of garbage to begin with? I mean, changing what the role of the church is. And people don't, and that, I guess, goes, maybe that was back in Johnson's days, whatever, when all the welfare programs all started, where in the past the churches played a role in helping a community, helping those, which I've known people who were helped by their churches, when something was wrong or whatever else, the church played a role for that. But then again, they became this tax-free, or you get the idiocy of whatever you want to call it, of the Catholic Church, where they're the NGOs and how they play a role in all this other nonsense that Catholics, the Catholic religion, you want to talk about a religion that seems to be pretty evil. I know plenty of Catholic people who aren't evil. They follow the true beliefs of what Catholics are supposed to. But then you have these other Catholic charities out there that are nothing but scum buckets. If those people don't run the mill, I don't know who will. So,
the false prophet. The false prophet will come out of the city on seven hills. What's the city on seven hills? There's only two places that are cities that have seven hills on the globe today. One of them is Rio de Janeiro. Well, there's no church there. And then there's the Vatican. So, that's where it's because, again, prophecy. You can't deny it. It was written thousands of years ago, and it's going to happen. So, where we went wrong with the churches is, look at America today. Everyone thinks they're entitled to something. Everyone thinks, I can self-govern. I have a right to do whatever I want as long as I don't harm other people. No, that's not what the Constitutional Republic was formed. It's not what the founders intended. That's not it at all. So, but people believe that. I mean, we have our debates on the podcast shows all the time about that. I have a right to do what I want in a republic, as long as I don't hurt anybody else, common law. That's not what they meant. So, we've lost our way because now we think that we're entitled. So we think that the Constitution is supposed to protect us and that we're entitled to everything as long as we don't bother anybody. We have no civic duty, no responsibility, no obligation. No moral obligation to our fellow man, our neighbor, our hearts are wax cold. God's turning us over to that reprobate mind that we don't care about our neighbors anymore. Where it's me, and how much sacrifice do you see out there anymore? Not much, Remember 9/11. Ann show last night with the pilot on there. But I remember 9/11. You know how united the country was after the day after 9/11, the day after? Everyone had a flag on their car. I mean, it was just united. Everyone helped each other. I mean, I never saw that in my life, that much unity. That was but one time I saw that. I'm glad I saw it because I saw what America could be, and it was really great.
Well, it was such a chance to totally bring people back together, but Bush didn't really seize the opportunity, not like he could have.
It was short-lived. Short-lived.
Yeah. And today, right now, you're at a point where people expect government to fix the problems, too. Again, they're going away from what the core foundations. And what was it? I was talking to somebody just recently. They said, humans, the human condition, they don't want to be responsible for anything. And I don't think it was always that way. I don't believe that was always the case. You wanted the right to go do your own thing, be successful or not, try and fail kind of thing. But they think that, and I guess there is a certain element of people that don't ever want to be responsible for anything. They want everybody to feed them and take care of them and whatever else, and they do whatever they feel like doing with no responsibility or accountability. But I don't think that's what we were founded on at all. I think that was totally opposite of the core beliefs of this country and its religious culture and things like that. I really don't think it was it.
Yeah, you're right.
But we've lost that.
You're right. Yeah. People that are successful, we have this attitude that people that gain success throughout their life, that they're supposed to give it back to us, that we're supposed to have that same opportunity. We're supposed to have the same game play. We're supposed to be in the same stature as they because they worked hard all their lives and they obtained, riches of the world and everything. And everyone thinks that I should be entitled to that too. Why? That's not fair. The rich get away with everything. Tax the rich. Let them pay their fair share, I mean, have you ever seen a poor person create jobs? No. It's backwards. The bottom up trickle down economics backwards. Capitalism by imperialism doesn't work.
No, that's fact.
Yep.
One of the things is that most of the taxes are being paid for by the rich.
And that's the reality, but nobody mentions that. And we could definitely do a lot of things to clean up taxes. Karen, are you trying to chime in? Then I want to go to Cindy and I see someone else out there.
I was going to say that this is what they're taught. All of the things that we're discussing are things that are taught in school. They're taught to be different. They're taught to be mean. They're taught that's called nihilism. They're taught that they're the chief commander and anything that they go should happen. They're taught that there are no consequences for their actions and that they don't have to have common sense because some of the government will do it for them. And they don't have to think about anything. They could just press the button on the device and the device will do it for them. So until we get these kids out of the school, we are living, like I say all the time, we're living in the belt of affirmative action. And the affirmative action judges are running our schools.
Yeah. Exactly. We are truly a product of our environment. This is what we've created. And again, you go out into the wild, and typically the mother is the one training the cubs and whatever else, and they go out there and they learn how to do what they do. And if they don't do it, they don't survive. They don't live. Okay, I did open the mic for Cindy, and Cindy, I don't know if you're on a speakerphone. It sounds like it's echoing.
I'm not on a speakerphone. Am I all right now?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, sounds okay now. Go ahead.
Okay. To me, it doesn't matter anymore because we don't have any control. We've never had control. I just am finishing a book called Conspiratory's Hierarchy, The Story of the Committee of 300 by Dr. John Coleman, who passed away. In the back of the book, it gives you the list of corporations, the list of people, the list of universities, the list of this, the list of that. Ronald Reagan, they walked into his office and he went along with it. So to me, it's over. And Jeffrey Tucker, in a piece yesterday from the Brownstone Institute, and I think Jeffrey Tucker is one of the brightest people who writes very good essays, he said that, you know, it's no longer corporatism. This is fascism. And I've been saying that for a couple of years. We have fascism. The corporations are in bed with the politicians, and that's where we are today. And there's no way to get rid of it. How are you going to get rid of it? The people don't give a shit. I'm sorry. They're walking around here all day, you know, around in Martin County. They're going to the beach. They're just completely clueless. Yesterday, around the corner from me, I mean, the Carson's, the local Irish pub, was packed from 9 in the morning until 1 at night. They don't care, okay? They are so, they're not educated. They don't read anymore. Everybody's got a cell phone. So it doesn't really matter in my mind because unless anybody, you know, Trump is going out there and he's kind of skirting around the truth, okay? Skirting around it. Others are talking about it, but how are you going to get out of this? Are we? You mean to tell me that the Bilderbergs are going to go away and nobody's going to listen to the Council of Foreign Relations and so forth and so on? And I think a lot of what went on in that interview with Tucker, I think what went on with Tucker, okay, and the fact that Putin was saying things to him that basically, we don't have an economy. We just rely on the military-industrial complex and all of these institutions, I think, is going on. I mean, he got voted in by 84%. Now, here's what people are saying. Oh, well, you know, they cheated. People can't really run a free election in Russia. Okay. Well, then they polled the people. All right, but the pollster's wrong, you know. Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that there's a lot of Russians leaving. I saw, you know, before Tucker ever did that interview, there's a couple talking, going around Russia and showing you what it's like to go shopping all during this time during Ukraine and the food and the no GMOs and how to buy a car and this is a shopping center and why we don't eat McDonald's and la, 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 and all of the above. This is all propaganda, and it's all created through the Committee of 300. And this book was given to me the other day, and this man died, Dr. John Coleman. It is so scary because you realize that we have been controlled forever. How do we expect to get out of it? I don't know. Maybe whether Trump knows or not, which I think he does know parts of it, is the Project 2025 and putting all those people in place in Washington when he gets elected, is that how they're going to get rid of it? I don't believe so. I can't imagine. We've been down this road. We're headed towards a one world order. Some things are falling apart. I mean, is Hungary going to go along with it? I don't know. This book, these this has been a plan for so long. It's just like the gays and the transhumanism and you know, all the other stuff that comes along with it and the trans. I mean, look, Massachusetts Resistance was out there for years, you know, and no one listened to them. And here we are. You know what the next thing's coming? The next thing's going to be to, you know, make pedophilia normal. And people, I just think we're lost. The only way that I see to get out of it, in my opinion, just my opinion, is to pick a state where the best chance is to free ourselves and have secession. I don't see any other way out of it. And I used to think that maybe it could be Florida, but no, I don't believe it can be Florida. Maybe Louisiana, I don't know. But I just think that's the only way out of it. There isn't another way out of it. And then if you say that word, people just go absolutely crazy. You know, well, what are we going to do when we have a war? And, you know, you're not going to be able to have troops. And, you know, no, we can build compacts with other states. I mean, we're just so beyond it now. It doesn't matter. And I just think it's sad. It's very sad. And I don't think the people are awake, and even the MAGA people aren't awake. You know, it's very sad. You know, it's a very, in a way, it's a missed opportunity because we have all these people who are, you know, voting for Trump and standing in line for hours and hours, but do they really know what really went on? Do they know the history and how he got here? It's just like somebody, like you said today, you just said before, that he should call Robert Kennedy Jr. or say that he wants to have a commission. But, Sally, he's already done that already. You know, he's already done it.
Well,
he had that in 2016. Yeah. He called Robert Kennedy Jr., Steve Bannon, brought him into the White House. I mean, and for some reason, and Robert Kennedy Jr. didn't tell the reason on True Pundit back during COVID in the beginning when he was being interviewed by the guy from True Pundit, Thomas Paine, that whole thing. And he didn't allude to the fact, he didn't say why the commission broke up, but he did. So,
yeah.
I think
I'm hearing some background noise. Excuse me, not to cut you off there, but I'm hearing some background noise. So if you're not talking, please mute, and then you can jump back in.
I'm muted. Can you hear me? Can you hear me right now?
I can hear you now. Yes, I hear you, Joe.
Okay, I was muted, so it wasn't me. All right, let me go back and mute myself.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I know you're good at doing that.
That's really what I have to say. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm just going to pray and hope for the best. But I was very disillusioned, and I'm also disillusioned about the border. I mean, I'll tell you right now, the sheriff today put out an emergency call. I'm supposed to be very scared. I'm very scared. Oh, I'm so scared. Because, you know, I live right near the water, and they're coming to Martin County, the Haitians. They're going to be washing up on boats. Lock your doors. Lock your doors. And this is from a sheriff, by the way, who was a representative who wanted to get E-Verify done. He had one term, and then he saw the writing on the wall and said, bye-bye, and he's been our sheriff ever since, and he's going to retire. You know, the Haitians are washing up. And by the way, and here's a good thing. I hope they do wash up on the beach. I hope they wash up on Jupiter Island, where the Blue Bloods live, where Mark Levin lives, where many, many hedge fund people live. It's very, very, you know, exclusive. And I hope all those patients wash up on that beach, because I certainly would love to see it. Because I'm telling you, it's just so ridiculous. It's absolutely so ridiculous, the whole thing. So, I mean, it's
kind of like Martha's Vineyard.
No. I think that we should, you know, what we all should do really is either find a state or pick a town. And maybe, Karen, you have the right idea. We'll just take over that whole area, Mariana, we'll include Chipley, and we'll just put a wall around it, and we'll have our own little, you know, country. Because I don't know any other way to get out of it. We've been talking about this. I think about those days during the Tea Party, and then I'm going to get off my thing here, that I used to lay in bed, and this is before there were cell phones, right? There was maybe the brick or maybe, I don't know, during Obama. And my husband would be sleeping, and I'd be on the phone, and Karen would be on the phone, and all of us would be on the phone, and we'd be planning, and, you know, you know, any day now, the generals were, took over and they were going to take Obama out. Look where we are now. It's just so bizarre. So, no, you know, we don't rule. The Council of 300 rules. And those are the same people. And you should see the list of people and the industries that are listed in the book. It's pretty damn scary, I can tell you that. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, you got to see the infographic. Cindy,
yeah.
You got to, because I've seen the book by Coleman. You got to see the infographic of the Illuminati and the Council of Formulations and the other subgroups all interlinked together. You'd become even scarier, more scared.
Joe, I just wanted to ask you, have you guys noticed anything different about the banks lately? Have the banks been pulling any? I mean, because I've been hearing, it's been more and more and more. It's been actually strange not letting people take out money, confiscating money. They're saying digital currency real soon, so I don't know if it's how true it is.
Well, the digital currency, we've already been on that. Not the official pronouncement of it, but whenever you're having your check deposited into your safe, into your account from your employer without having cash, that's digital currency. When companies buy their products from their suppliers using wire transactions.
They're switching over to XRPs and XLMs.
CBDs and all that kind of stuff. But when you have all the transactions that aren't being done by cash and they're being done by bit and byte by computers, you're on digital currency.
I got to cut in. I'm going to chime in real quick on this one. Then Karen, I'll go to you. There's a difference between electronic transactions and the digital currency, central bank digital currency. Because at that point, right now, I still have the right to go to the bank or the credit union and get cash out and go spend it wherever I want to spend it. Once they do this digital currency, you won't have that option.
It's absolutely true.
With credit card, debit cards, any electronic transactions that you're making, there is a record of it out there. The credit card companies sell the information back to whoever, pretty much, or all the games being played with that. So you have an electronic transaction trail, whatever you want to call it, for that information. That's not what digital. That is not what central bank. That's not central bank digital currency.
No,
central bank digital.
Wait a minute. Am I on? I don't know if I'm on. Oh, I am on. Okay. It's not exactly the same, but the principle is that you're not seeing cash. Everything's being done by, as you're saying, electronic transfer. It's by bits and bytes. Okay? So when they do that, they can cut off your – can't they cut off your credit now? Yes.
Technology would allow them to do it today. Technology would – just like with a credit card, if you've gone over your open to buy, they don't authorize you to do any more transactions. So technology would allow you to do that. They don't do it today. Just like I said, I can go to my credit union and I can go – I can't – if I only have $500 in there, I can't withdraw $1,000, but I can take out the $500.
Right.
They can't stop me. That won't happen with digital currency.
Yeah, I know it's smart, but the digital currency, they have the right to do it even on a more pronounced level. True. But right now, everything is being done by bits and bytes, which means that the government can stop in with a flip switch, just like they have done or threatened to do during Obama's regime with the Internet. It's all a matter of just to what degree. Okay? And cash will not be allowed when the digital currency comes in.
Which is one of the biggest differences people don't understand.
You're not getting money. You're not getting money. There's no such thing as
you're
money.
You're getting points. It's really points, not money.
It'll be credit.
They intend to do this, and we have a chance. Well, we don't really have much of a chance, but we have a slight chance to do something about it by Wednesday. If we all call our legislators in the House and tell them to defund the WHO, because Wednesday they are voting on whether or not to fund the WHO. What they intend to do with the WHO is give Tedros, the WHO, the authority to manage all of our health care. And once they do that, you get a digital passport. And you will be working off of a social credit system that has nothing to do with money. And that's what they're striving for.
It would be the same like in China, correct?
Exactly. They want a total control of all of our activities, and they will do it through a digital passport that will start out being a health passport and then work its way through being a surveillance operation where they will surveil everything that you do. You will not be granted money. You will be granted credit. So this is a totally different thing than what people are used to, which is why it's not money. And as Sally said, if you want to go to the bank right now, you can go to the bank and you can withdraw what you have in the bank. You will not be able to
withdraw what that is. To a $500 a day limit.
You will have no limit. You will have nothing to be able to draw from except your ability to buy your bobblehead for the government. That's it. That's all they're interested in.
And all of this, what we're doing now, is a precursor to that. Very true. It's all been set up years ago.
Yeah. Many people out there today are naive enough to, or uneducated, uninformed, whatever you want to call it, to think that digital currency is the same as a debit card. And it's not. The electronic technology that's going to drive it is very similar as to how the money will transfer from one place to another kind of thing. But it's not. It's going to say, well, wait a minute. Okay, you're using that digital currency card. You were going to fill up your car with gas, if you still have any gas, or charge it at a station. And, well, we're only going to allow you to buy this much because you've already traveled too much. There will be that kind of control over digital currency. They will have that control. They will know what you're spending it on. They will determine or have the free control. Now, I mean, the technology for them to do some of that today, well, just like with a health savings account, for people who aren't familiar with those, a health savings account where you will typically get a card, like a debit card type thing, and then you can go use that for purchases for medical things or for the doctor. You're not allowed to go buy a car with it. It's not going to be applied to a car. It's not allowed because that wasn't the intent and you didn't get the tax-free breaks so that you could go use it to buy a car. It's used strictly for health savings, and this was supposed to encourage people to save money tax-free for healthcare type things, so they, if they had an expense. But to some people, I guarantee you, there are people who take a health savings card and try to go grocery shopping or whatever with it, and that isn't what it's for. You can definitely use it to
buy.
It
sure may sound like that, though.
Yeah. You know, get your prescription drugs. You can buy stuff at the drugstore, whatever.
Yeah.
The healthcare items, but it's very limited. And those things are all controlled by different codes that they use for products, just like beer or alcohol has a certain code. You're not allowed to buy all that alcohol because, well, we know you drink too much. You're not going to be allowed to get drunk at the Super Bowl now.
Everything will be scanned. They'll know exactly what you bought, your consumption, everything.
Record.
In these big think tanks. It's crazy.
It is.
They know that,
okay,
they know that now.
We've got two other people
out there. They know that now.
Go ahead, real quick, gentlemen.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see if this is Sarge. Sarge, is that you?
Yes, Sarge. You got me stirred up with this kind of talk, and I got to take some exception to what I heard, some agreement to what I heard, and let me try to make it all plain. Look, first of all, I understand the impulse to say that people are evil or predominantly evil and all of that. I'm guilty of it myself frequently. Not as much as I used to, but I certainly was. But we wouldn't know what evil is if we didn't have good at the opposite end of the spectrum. If we didn't have righteousness and morality and kindness. And, we wouldn't know what evil is. So clearly, we are a combination of both. Human beings are paradoxical. You know, and look, when it comes to the way the civilization is and the civilization is going, look, it's like people, our ancestors, our forefathers, they sacrificed, they built, they sweated, they saved, they practiced virtues that provided success, particularly in business. Look at Disney. Disney was a business that was founded on virtue, on giving virtuous entertainment to the masses. That's what it was. At every place you looked, that was what it aspired and struggled to be. Look what it is now. It is a woke, stupid, bumper sticker sloganeering, idiotic, puerile, juvenile mess. Why? Because when people are prosperous and they cease to practice the same attributes that led the people who either founded everything or made everything, that got it glory and made it a shining symbol, it often crumbles because the people who benefited from it, from the hard labor, all those who went before, like our country, and it made abundant, the people come after, they want to enjoy it. They get lazy, they get indulgent, they get jealous, they get selfish, they want to make excuses why everything fails, they want to blame everybody else, they don't want to take responsibility. Finally, somebody who's hungrier, somebody who's leaner, somebody who's, maybe a barbarian coming outside the gate, this is starting to sound a little familiar. Hey, they come in and they destroy, they ruin what was built. How many successful businesses, like I said about Disney, how many just folded up because those who inherited them didn't continue to execute with the same diligence that their forerunners did? It's the same thing with the United States. The United States was founded by people, many of whom, not all, they exaggerate that beyond recognition, but many of whom were slavers, slave owners. They didn't want women to vote, but they founded the greatest document and method of governance for liberty and human freedom in the history of mankind. Again, the paradoxical nature of people. America got strong because the people were strong. America became the wealthiest, most prosperous, most desirable nation on earth because the people who came before us were frugal, strong, industrious, brave, and that people who sacrificed so they and verity could prosper. Yeah, they didn't do everything right. Yeah, they weren't perfect, but they weren't lazy and shiftless either. If they had been, we'd be a third-rate banana republic right now, maybe like Haiti. Who the hell knows? But I'll tell you one thing. The Democrats and Joe Biden are working busily, overtime, mightily to turn this nation into that kind of place. And once we understand why we're getting the way we're getting, we'll know what we have to do to reverse it. You could say maybe it's too late. I don't know if it's too late. I mean, yeah, it's hard to say that when people don't even want to give up TikTok, for God's sake, a clear national security threat, because they're so zombified by it.
I disagree with you, Sarge. I disagree with you. Why is TikTok a national security threat? Why?
Well, I don't really want to go into how many angels stand on the head of a pen right now. What I want to go into is the fact that we are abandoning everything that made this country great. The virtues that the people who founded and built it that made it great. In the main, not in every detail, but in the main, they were virtuous. They were righteous. They were brave, and they were hardworking. And that's why the United States became the country it became, because it was founded on a solid foundation of virtue and principle. Perhaps the only major nation in the world that didn't arise organically, it arose out of ideas.
When do you think we peaked out? When do you think the country peaked out?
Maybe the Second Great Awakening. I don't know. Maybe the end of the Civil War. Maybe the end of World War II. It's hard to say. We had a bunch of peaks and valleys, so maybe there wasn't a singular peak. But what there always was up until now. Here's what's different about now. Not the fact that we had failings in the past. We always sought virtue. Objective, transcended truth. We're no longer seeing that today. We're arguing about what makes a man and a woman, for God's sake. There was never so much insanity posited as wisdom and virtue. That's what's different with today. There was always an aspiration to better. We knew what transcended objective truth was. We don't anymore, it seems, in too many places. The council is just irrational moral equivalence at best.
The seed of evil.
I think
the seed of evil.
couple of things. To me, the baby boomers generation, it was right there, I guess that was after, truly after World War II, when things started to change, when the economy and things started to boom, then there was this idea that parents always wanted their kids to have better, and they end up spoiling the kids. I call the baby boomers the Mimi generation.
Look how hard the greatest generation worked. I mean, they could not dream of the kind of luxuries that their children would get when they were growing up at that age. They were busting their asses. They had a depression to put up with. Then they had World War II. Then a whole bunch of them got called back for Korea. Man. And then their children run around indulgent. They run around in Woodstock doing bat shit. Man.
This is the pattern of great empires.
Yeah. This is what great empires do. If you notice throughout history, it's the pattern of great empires. I think we may be approaching that point. We don't realize we got to turn it around and change it.
Well, let me ask you this, Sarge, because I happen to believe part of it was the fact that we no longer said you had to believe in God to be on the Supreme Court. You no longer had to believe in God to be in Congress. You no longer had to take an oath to this. Well, I mean, you take this oath, but it really doesn't mean anything because you're really taking an oath to something else, like the Koran or to whatever. Just like some of these people that are in there now. They're Omar, for one. Who's her loyalty to? She hasn't taken oath to the United States of America, and she's the one out, and she's a refugee who was given all these opportunities, and she's done everything to stab the backs of the people and go and support her people from Somalia or whatever else. She's a foreign agent in Congress. But we couldn't stop it. We would be discriminating if we didn't let the enemy take over. This is kind of the mentality of some of this, and because of a loss of any of core values, and why we would go let this happen. We set up, well, no, because we – this is where it goes back to what makes you strong will also make you weak. We believe in free will and freedom of religion and free choice, whatever. Okay, so in other words, because we do believe in, you know, freedom of religion and stuff, your culture says it's okay to kill people and that, you know, you're supposed to. If people don't believe as you do, you should kill them. That's what some religions do. But – the core foundation of this country wasn't that religion. It wasn't to go out there and kill everybody, even though Americans have definitely killed in wars and everything else. And yes, Americans do murder each other, but not to the extent of what we've been seeing with the changing culture. So what makes you strong will also make you weak. We said, well, you have the right to be a communist in America. Come on, communists, come on over. We'll let you stay here, and we'll let you take over the country. China, come over. Go ahead and take everything. Because we believe that free enterprise, and it was George H.W. Bush who sold the country away. Yes, go ahead. I mean, there's something sick when you're going to say that you can't blend all these cultures. It's all fine and dandy to say that that you can be an atheist or whatever else. But should an atheist, and Joe, you can chime in on this one, will an atheist sit on that Supreme Court and interpret that Constitution the way it was intended with that core foundation of belief? That we don't have any core beliefs anymore. Anything
goes. An atheist.
John Adams, right. John Adams, right.
An atheist that believes in morality, and you don't have to believe in God to believe in morality. The people who believe that you have to are wrong. I would rather be in the foxhole with an atheist than with a Christian or a Jew or Episcopalian, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, an atheist can't because he's supposed to interpret the Constitution according to the whims. And they are whims of the founding fathers. It took 2 years for the within a convention to secure the Constitution, and then they had to wait for the Bill of Rights. So when civilizations do thrive, it isn't because they're trying to look for virtue. Of course, some are. It's for self-interests.
No, it's because they're blessed. They're blessed by a higher power, and that's the God that they follow.
If you
want
to believe it, it's fine. I don't.
Hang on, Joe. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at history. Look at every single nation that's turned its back on God. What has happened to them?
Take a look at the nations that take a look at the missionaries that have had wars over centuries with the people, with Muslims and other countries as a result of God. You can take a look at that,
too. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant, though. That's irrelevant.
If you, Joe, you want to believe in religion?
They always won.
I'm not saying that you can't. Don't tell me that I have to believe in God. The thing is,
just
for the record,
I'm not saying that.
Hold on a second, Joe. hold on a second, Joe. Just for the record here, I don't believe all atheists think it's okay to kill people. I don't think that at all. I don't think that. I do know other cultures think that it's part of their Allah or whoever is telling them that they must kill other people. But that's you know, if you don't believe as I believe or do as I believe, then it is my job to remove you, because everybody's supposed to believe like we do and whatever else. There are cultures that do that.
But if you talk to a Muslim, they're going to say that the Quran is peaceful and that is being bastardized by those who interpret it. But I don't want to get into a thing about religion. The thing is that people, regardless of all religions, have all committed atrocities. Doesn't matter what religion you are. You go to Ireland, Protestants versus Catholics. But any
who's talking
country,
religion anyway? Religion is man-made. What are you talking about? No, I'm not practicing religion. There's a big difference between the institution of religion and the institution of believing in God as an independent, rightly dividing Bible believer.
Okay. The thing is, Sally asked me a question about could an atheist be on the Supreme Court? Yes. Could he or she do a good job? Yes. Because remember now, John F. Kennedy, when he came to office, people were thinking, well, this is JFK. He could be manipulated or guided by the Vatican, and not because the Vatican was part of the 300, but because he had strong religious beliefs. So religion does take a part in everybody's belief system. And we have to take that into consideration for everybody's mindset. But those mindsets are formulated by nature and nurture working together. So I answered that question. And anybody else? I'm in.
I disagree with you. I don't know what you're talking about with religion. Again, the institution of religion. And this Constitution is for what? A moral and righteous and religious people is wholly inadequate for any other. That's what the Founding Fathers said.
To be a free society, that's exactly it. So to be
Adam
a free society, you must have
You just said you weren't talking about religion. Now you brought in the forefathers' intention about religion.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it was
religion.
Part of the founding. Yes.
Yeah, not religion.
You got to remember, the notion of the Declaration itself is that we have inalienable rights that come from a creator. That is the foundation of religious liberty in this country. In fact, the opponents of the framers said that the animating spirit behind the American Revolution was Presbyterianism. King George said it. I forget the Prime Minister at the time said it. All of them said it. They were incorporating these Presbyterian Lutheran ideas into the American Revolution. I don't have a problem with a person whose ideas are informed by their religion. We got people right now in Congress whose ideas are informed by Marxism and various forms of fascism. I think
and
I'd rather have
okay?
a religious
is that
person.
Okay?
Is that
okay? No, that's definitely not okay. I'd rather
have
the religious person than the Marxist or the socialist or the fascist.
Yeah, we can't have that sickness in our Constitution, in our country, in our government. It's a sickness. It's a disease. It's a cancer that eats away at the core.
As long as they're not respecting an establishment of religion, if there are, look, the Ten Commandments are the basis for practically all of our laws. Not in every administrative need. I ain't talking about administrative laws. I'm talking about the basic laws that cause us to look over our shoulder at night to make sure someone ain't falls the bastard over there and take our wallets. Those Ten Commandments are the basis for almost all of our laws.
And
they're religious.
And let me throw something in here. Hold on. Right. I think Tate's still out there waiting, so I got one more caller out there. But I think, to me, it's, you can make
to see what's really happening out there. Here, we had the subway thing, I think it was a year or so, 2 years ago, when the Marine, he got involved because this person was being attacked on the subway, and he broke it up. He ended up killing the attacker through a chokehold or whatever it was he ended up doing. And because he intervened to save and help somebody else who was being attacked, he's the one who was penalized. There's something sick in that society. And now we have just the other way around. Those who kill others, just like the young lady in Georgia, and there's been another one, I think, in Pennsylvania or Massachusetts, or they're all over the place. Most, and, of course, we're not wanting to say they're illegals doing this, but it wouldn't matter the whether they were legal or illegal. They were killing out of evilness, banging that young girl's head on the cement, and the others stood there watching, people with their cameras watching. There's something sick in a society that would do that, and yet we have people in public office, mostly funded by Soros, figure out what's going on in Soros' head, what religion does he believe in, who's going out there putting these people in places and these or helping to get them elected to go out there and cause harm to the community. There's something very evil and sick going on with this
Soros
kind of evil.
Judeo-Christian. Judeo-Christian, he's a Jew, Soros. That's a known fact.
Yeah, well, but he also went over and aided Hitler and he pretty much killed his own family or whatever. He abandoned his own family during all that time.
He'll round up his fellow Jews.
He was around the age of 11. He wasn't even a teenager, I don't think.
Well, exactly. And he did escape. He went over to the other side to save his rear end. And so he turned his back on his own people in order to save his life. Is what he did, based on everything I've ever read in reference to Soros. Tate, is that you there?
Yes, ma'am, it is. How are you guys doing?
Well, I think you can tell how we're doing.
I can say this. All right, right off the rip, I just catch the wind of the girl getting her head pounded into the concrete. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is a perfect piece of propaganda that you're not going to understand unless you dig into this situation, and I did. They don't tell you, prior to this white girl having her head thrown into the concrete, the girl that did it was jumped by two other girls and this one that she did it to 2 days prior. You don't hear that story. Not that it's okay, but that's the propaganda machine in full effect trying to start a race war, period.
Well, I don't know what happened 2 days before. And truthfully, if somebody tried to attack me 2 days earlier, it would not mean that I had the right to go bash their head in today. There would be tension there, but it wasn't, you know.
They don't want those two fighting. They want everybody, the older brothers, the uncles, the fathers with the guns to go to war.
And I saw the video. It wasn't because the girl went up to the girl and just grabbed her from behind and started bashing her head in. It was a school fight, and the fight got out of hand with the big fat black chick overpowering the thinner white chick. And in a street fight, you bash heads in.
Most street fights, people would go in and break it up when it got out of control. I've been in street fights before.
Even people videotape it. Instead of doing something, go get help. You would go try to get a cop. You call 911. You do whatever. You wouldn't go out. You wouldn't stand there and videotape it.
Getting into fights
of today's society to push
too many people talking. Hold on. Tate, go ahead. Let Tate finish.
These people have an agenda. We're talking everything that we're talking about. All is compiled and falls into line exactly with what the agenda is of the Zionist nation. The very people that have done in their entire time. You want to call them Jews? You want to call them Khazarians? Call them what you want. I call them demons because that's what they are. They've been run out of 109 countries for doing everything that you and I and everybody in this country are witnessing firsthand. And when you can call it a conspiracy theorist and it can't be the Jews, it's the Jews if that's what they want to be called. You call them that because they're the ones that start the ADL. They are the ones behind Black Lives Matter. They are the ones, the George Soros. You have a guy right there that you just said. He's on both sides. He turns his own family in.
Well,
that's
I should tell
people.
You, we do have a person who knows a little bit about the Jewish faith and the Jewish people. Karen, you want to chime in on that?
I like to. Okay. Somebody tell me about it. I've been studying for the last 6 years.
Yep. Tate, hold on a second. Karen?
Okay.
Yes, I was on mute. Okay, yeah. And I'm sorry. What was the question?
One at a time. Tate, do you want to go ahead and say that you believe it's the Jewish people who are destroying us?
Yeah. No, now see, that's right there. You can't. That's taking what I'm taking out of context and saying it's not the Jewish people. Okay, it's the same people that in the Bible in Revelation 3:9 it says they call themselves Jews, but they are the synagogue of Satan. You can call them Khazarians. You can call them Freemasons. You can call them the Hidden Hands. You can call them the Club of 300. You can call them just about anything you want because that's what they've done their entire lives is steal names and hide behind people because that's their agenda. Okay, now they claim they want to be Jews. Don't interrupt me, Joe. Let me finish. They want to be Jews. That's their thing because they are under the assumption that because this planet they have put together, and this goes back thousands of years, thousands, because they spit in Christ's face back then. These people that claim to be God's chosen people spit in his son's face, had him murdered, yet every time you see him on the street today, if you say Jesus Christ, they spit at your feet. And they can't call him Jesus Christ. They blame that as a curse word, and they have to use the word Mashiach. Let me get my Yiddish right. Mashiach. Okay? So now that's what they want to do because they hide behind the victim status, period. The plan with the Holocaust and all this information that everybody gets about this, why is everything coming to fruition now where you see complete debunking? The actual Red Cross comes out. I think it was in 2013, readjust the numbers of the atrocities of World War II, talking about Auschwitz, all of its camps. They weren't death camps. They were work camps. And that's what these people, you're brainwashed because once you hear from your evangelicals at the highest level that continually preach the same thing, they cherry pick out of the Bible, and they do not tell you that the truth is these people have an agenda. They are demonic. They want to be called something because they fit that narrative now because they can say, hey, oh, yeah, well, the Red Cross just changed everything to 247,000 people approximately, and none of them were gassed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there was a Holocaust, but there was atrocities from war, from people getting shot. How many people died in the Holodomor prior to World War One and Two before it started when they were burning Protestant and churches down in Poland?
Let's let people respond to what you said now. Joe, if you want to, and then we'll go to Karen.
Yeah, just real quick. The proper way, Bill, if we're going to read from the Bible, we've got to say it the right way. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not. But all the liars, come on. But are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. So they claim to be Jews, but they are not Jews. That's what the verse says, though.
Yes. These are the same people I'm talking about that the Bible says itself. The armies of Joshua were sent out to put them to sword. That doesn't mean go shake hands and kick it down the street. We'll talk about that means you're going to be put to death. Put to death. This earth was flooded three different times, not once, but three different times for the same reason. Sodom and Gomorrah, these people have not been exterminated or whatever you want to call it, gotten rid of on a level that even the God of the Bible says needs to happen because they are not human. They are not Jews, but they claim to be. That's where we have a huge crossover where people just think, when you say Jew, that you're automatically anti-Semitic. That's not true because there's Jewish people that are born that have no idea what's going on. And if you never told them, they never got to see what happened in history, they wouldn't believe any of that shit. It's all
please no profanity on air.
They have one
I don't listen to the profanity. Please stop that. Karen, did you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, because there's good and bad in every group. And you always have a group that will rise to the top to be evil, and you have a group that will rise to the top to be good. And that's human nature, and it's not going to make any difference what you say or what I say. I do disagree with the Holocaust because IBM was keeping track of the numbers, and the numbers justify what's being said. And my uncle was one of the soldiers that liberated the death camps. They were death camps. They did put people to death. They did gas them. And Prescott Bush's company is the company that created the odorless gas that was used to gas them.
Let me interject on that.
That was
Zyklon B. Hold on, one at a time.
It's a pesticide. Zyklon B is a pesticide,
yes.
And at the time,
yes.
Let me explain something. If Hitler wanted to kill every Jew that was in Germany or wherever, why would he put them on trains, drive them all the way across the country, pay for it, feed them, give them haircuts because they had typhus? Mind you, you're at war. You're going to have prisoners of war. That's what they were. They show now Auschwitz had actual course. They had a swimming pool. They had a soccer team, for the love of God. I understand that people think that the Holocaust could be real, and it could be. And she makes a comment of IBM. Who owns IBM? Ask yourself that, number one. Number two, are we talking about numbers that are actually – because I would think the Red Cross would know. Going because they documented everything from circumcisions to tooth removal, and they came up with 270,000, not 6 million. And I have 12 different newspapers dating back 20 years before Hitler was even in office that the New York Times and the New York Sun say the number 6 million because it was an agenda proven to be driven before that.
Okay. Okay, Tate. Karen, anything? Yeah. Okay, Tate. Karen, anything else on that one?
It is. I'm not going to have this argument because it's not worth arguing about because.
No, it's the past.
Yeah, I know, but don't we want the truth? You know.
Don't interrupt. But Karen, please. No, don't have everybody talking at once, please, Karen.
If it is the truth, then it will be the truth. If it is, then I guess my uncle was lying when he came back. And my aunts and relatives that had numbers on their arms and told stories were lying.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I think.
So to me, that was my truth because that's what I grew up with.
Hang on, Dave.
Now, as far there were Jews that turned in other Jews to save themselves.
Yeah.
That's human nature.
Absolutely.
That happened all the time. That that is the way it was. As far as Christ is concerned, I couldn't agree with you more. The people that did that were disgusting. And they were the power hungry, quote, elite, the same thing that we have now. And I don't believe that they were, quote, Jews either because they worshipped themselves more than God.
That's right.
So you can pick and call anything. It's not going to make any difference.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There's plenty of Jews that have voted for Biden as well. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
But I just want to make a statement, though.
What does that tell you about?
Let's get it clear. Neither one of them are any good. Ain't no president, no government's good. That's the way I see it.
What's going on right now in Israel and in Gaza is a 5,000-year-old war regarding the Temple Mount. And unfortunately, on both sides, you're not going to change the mindset of the people. Unfortunately, the Gaza people that voted in Hamas were probably duped also because they got free stuff, just like what's going on here. And unfortunately...
Do you think that it's okay for them to take that land grab that they did? Because prior to 1948, I searched this.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Israel. It was Palestinian. 700,000. I can't believe that.
There's a lot of debate on that one. So hold on, Tate. Let's hear some other responses.
It was called Canaan, and it was called Palestine, and it was called, not the Palestine that they're talking about, and it was called a lot of different things. And that was where the focus of the Jews lived. That's where they were. And the land wasn't really taken. It was given by Jordan. And if this is such a wonderful thing, then why did Egypt and Jordan put up barriers, put up especially Egypt, and they won't let the Gaza, the Palestinians come in? Because they know that these are people that have been bred on killing. And when
absolutely.
You
if they voted for Hamas, that you're right. You're right.
Yeah, when you teach a child to kill from the time he is able to walk, it's what they're going to do. They're going to kill.
That's exactly what I just said earlier. If you had somebody born that wasn't a Jew that never knew the history, you wouldn't have that problem. Yep. 100%.
Yeah, but you have to be taught to do this. And you have a group of people who are evil.
Evil.
And
evil.
Are teaching their children to kill. They're training the killers from the time they're born to go and kill Jews. I don't even think they – I remember when I first started teaching and I walked into the classroom and one of the kids said to me, oh, you know what a Jew looks like. Like, okay,
oh, my
what
God.
You know, and this is when I started teaching. So
how long ago was
that,
if you don't mind me asking?
How long ago? I was a teacher in 1967.
Okay.
In 1980.
That right there tells me, it should tell everybody listening, that right there she's saying that children back then, there was probably one person that said that to her, and that kid didn't have his mouth slapped, because if my mother or father heard me say that to anybody, regardless, the disrespect for your elder or the teacher of that classroom, I'd have got my mouth, the white right off my teeth. Period.
Well, okay,
doesn't
I agree
happen today.
With you, but he wasn't being disrespectful. He was being
they didn't know any better. It wasn't out of disrespect. They didn't know any better. That's just what they thought.
It wasn't anti-Semitic then.
It was not anti-Semitic. They were being curious because they didn't see a Jew before. I was teaching in a black ghetto in Brooklyn. So there were
God
a
bless
lot
you.
Of
that's
misconceptions.
You know a lot about a rough town then. Man.
Yes, I do. There was a lot of misconceptions, a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of things that went on, and in the end, it worked out okay because the idea of becoming a human was more important than being a Jew. And
that's what we lost.
When you take all of these little segments and you divide people by segments instead of by being human, then you create what we have now.
And I think our biggest problem, we have with all communities, all the communities have the biggest problem of all, which is facing us now more so than anything, is a debt-driven society where everything, the money, the evil, they don't say the root of all evil is money. Right. That's not the truth worth saying. It's the root of all evil is greed. That's what the problem
is. That's what I said before.
They're killing us. They want to control us with the stuff.
Well, and this gets back to the evilness of government today. What our government has become, how we've let them do this, how they are destroying us from within, and what are we going to do to stop it? Looks like Joe from Montana has dropped off, but we are the ones who have to be proactive in changing the culture of this government. And it's we have got to exterminate the evilness of it. And I think the speaker, Michael Johnson, is probably one of the perfect examples of, wait a minute, you said you're talking about your Christianity, one nation under God, and the Constitution, and look at what you've done. Everybody listening to this needs to call Michael Johnson, say a prayer for him, and say, what are you doing? Who are you trying to destroy? What is why are you promoting the NGOs and all the other garbage that they're doing that's destroying us? Do you not understand, Michael Johnson? You are helping to destroy our country. Why are you helping to destroy this country? I can only imagine the pressures that a person in that position would be in with all the garbage going on. But if we don't stop the evilness, and this is where I get very concerned about this next election. If we end up with the same uniparty mix in that house, if we don't get people who genuinely believe in the foundation of this country and believe in something good, and not the insanity, the Omars don't belong in there. Why did the Republicans let Omar stay in there when she openly admitted basically that's, she was a foreign agent? Why? I mean, they didn't do anything to remove her.
Can I answer that?
You know, the problem is that
yeah, okay, Karen, okay, hold on. Karen, we'll go down the list here, Karen.
Because Bill Clinton repealed through executive order the bill that said that you could not have a communist or whatever in the Congress. That was a bill that said no communist, no nothing, no fascist, nothing like that. You had to be an American, and you had to swear on the Bible and say an oath on the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Well, Bill
right.
Clinton got rid of that. And by doing that, he has opened the door to anybody becoming a congressperson. And that's
what we are
suffering
right now.
The results, as I said before, of affirmative action graduates. This is
true.
What you get when you...
Affirmative
when
action
you,
was a dumbing down. Massive dumbing
down.
It's the death of the people.
It's
the actual death of the people, because if you want someone to fly an airplane because of affirmative action, you go ahead and get on it. I'll walk.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Yep. Okay, anything else on that, Karen? We'll kind of go around the board, and Tate, you were just chiming in, but hold on a second. Sarge hasn't chimed in on this, and I'm sure he's got something to say.
Sarge is with me.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sure you have something to say. I've been digesting and all. What in particular would you – there's so many things that have been said. What do you think you'd like to hear me say?
Well, I just figured I didn't think I was going to have to pull
an embarrassment of riches, as it were.
Well, right now, let's go back into some of the what have you heard about April 8th? Have you heard any? And we haven't really talked much about the April 8th emergency. How much has anybody heard about this April 8th? Thing that's going to happen with the solar eclipse. Has anybody heard anything about that?
Something else.
Oh, no, not another one. You mean like we haven't had solar eclipses in the past before that we weather?
Well, this is more about what they're going to do during this, the G5 stuff and everything else. I put the link out there to this video. It was kind of interesting as to how they're going to take advantage of what people are going to be doing through this solar eclipse and whatever. Who knows? It's one of these crazy things. I suppose it'd be a good cover,
but I figured, be prepared for whatever bad might happen and weather it the best you can. In the meantime, I'm more worried about the fact that now we got information that the Capitol Police were infiltrating the so-called rioters on January 6th. We got new videotape that Mike Johnson released showing it, questioning. What the hell were they doing? What are they talking about? Are you ready? Have you got the gas to go in there? I mean, were you just surveilling the crowd or were you agitating the crowd? Would somebody answer me that? I'm not worried about a solar eclipse right now with all this evidence coming out.
Well, and this is a good point. The true evilness of that, too. Well, everything to do with Jan 6 talks about is truly the ultimate of the evilness of a government going after its own people because they wanted the certain element that was there, wanted that power. They were willing to kill for that power. It had nothing to do with civil rights or harming, say, protecting people or whatever. They were protecting their own power. And that's why we got to get rid of these evil people. And this is where we talk about the Constitution. This is where we need some amendments. We don't need a convention of states.
Exactly
we need a
right.
constitutional
you
amendment.
Know what? I say the same thing on that because I believe that this – we get these different things happening just now that we have the eclipse. The Mayans knew this eclipse was going to happen this day, so that's no big deal to me the way I look at it. The thing is we have something else now that we have to be heavily distracted from because just today – Donald Trump was denied by 30 different insurance companies the money to pay off what he was fined for his civil actions. Now, that's over $437 million. He doesn't have to pay it. What does that mean? She's going to have him locked up. She's going to take all of his assets, whatever. But it's just something else because he's going to get bailed out again. By who? The people that run the government, the people that every politician has to swear an oath to, just like Donald Trump says, Israel first, I am Israel's number one backer, Donald Trump. Won the Crown of Torah, another award just a week and a half ago. Everybody in his cabinet is either Jewish-backed or completely fund him as Biden, because they're all in it together. There's too much Zionism, too much un-American, how we say this, too many un-American asses in American seats. That's how I'll say it.
What is an American, by the way? Do we know what that is anymore? We don't think of,
I guess you have to be born here first.
Well,
I mean,
technically you don't have to be born here to become naturalized as an American, but now, when it comes to being a president, a natural born, but most people don't know what that means either. But
well,
right now, we have surrendered
the
right
to the
American
people. I can tell the value of something by the price you have to pay for it. Right now, it looks like American residency is pretty cheap. And the way these globalists and the demon rats are talking, getting American citizens is going to be cheaper than anything else. You could. Once upon a time, it was the most desirable citizenship in the world. Now it seems it's worth nothing. You just show up and demand it, and you get it.
Yeah. I believe these people in office in Washington, D.C. sit in that state because they do not have to abide by the laws and rules that we have, our Constitution, because they are sovereign away from the American, just like the Vatican and London City, where all the money's at. And them sitting in there was a coup that took place when the election went south. It should have been addressed then. Just like the border should have been addressed by the constitutional sheriff when that started. It shouldn't have been 3 years later we're looking at Abbott making a move because it's election time. Not enough people have stood up that took the oath to defend this country and protect what they swore to protect because they're afraid of not getting their paycheck, and that's what's bullshit, and that's what's ruining this country, and it's going down the drain fast.
Well, and we're going to see this next election. It truly is, I think, the ultimate in going back to some stuff that Cindy was saying earlier. I do believe we may end up splitting up into, she made reference to the compact, but several different countries. And I think maybe the Southeast may be what will become the new free America, the United Free States, whatever. And then the nutcases up in the Northeast will be one, and then the Californias will be another. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we end up splitting up into three different countries or have a compact with different states.
Hey, when they got to work to do stuff, and I'm fine with that 100%. We're actually 50 different countries if you look at it, because states are supposed to be able to run themselves and own the federal government.
Yeah.
Which
is exactly what I read this. We are a sovereign nation of many sovereign states.
Yes. So when we can take care of ourselves and we know how to grow corn or put up a building or do the roofing, when they try to come over the wall because they realize, hey, we need help. Tough crap. I don't even want to say it. Tough shit.
Well, okay. And anyway, hold off on that one. We're going to be wrapping up here. The live feed on the internet will be off in about 7 minutes. We might run a few minutes over, but I can't run too late over tonight. This is the thing. We've got to change this. I'm going to put out there, and I meant to mention this at the beginning of the show, the Defend Florida, they have a call on Tuesday. Go to 9:30?
I said I'm going to do a show at 9:30,
Okay. 9:30. Yep. Go ahead and let her with the Restore the Republic.
Yeah, Restore the Republic. Come on aboard.
Yep.
Let's complain.
Okay. we can continue the conversation over there. But anyway, the defendflorida.org, if you go to the website, defendflorida.org, if you've never listened in on one of these calls, there's more than just the Florida. There's other states to it, too, but I happen to be Karen and I listen on the one on Tuesdays. So if you could, join it and see. This is people coming together. We were addressing some things at the Florida state level. We learned a few things. Some things went okay. Some things didn't go as good as we wanted. We all expected that to a degree. But now we're going to the next level, which is going to be this postcard campaign, and there's other things that people can do. Because we talk a lot on the show about, well, we're saying what's wrong, but what are we going to do? It's up to we the people to take the action. If we don't get engaged and do something, nothing is going to change. And this is why it's so critical, and this is with Trump, we got to remember right now the Congress, including these crazy Republicans up there, they're doing various things that are going to restrict him from making changes once he gets there. He will be, assuming that he gets elected, assuming he's not in jail, et cetera, et cetera. If Trump gets in there, the things he wants to do right off the top, they're putting legislation out there today to block him and stop him from doing this. This is evilness. And these people that do this, we have to call them out. We have to shame them, I think is the way Karen put it. We have to call these people out, and we have to say, no, we cannot reelect them. We have the representative, the U.S. representative for this area of Florida, Dunn Nothing. His name is Neil Dunn, but he's really Dunn Nothing. And he brags on the garbage that he does. I mean, it's so despicable. And yet here we went to a meet and greet and spoke to him. Oh, they were doing this. They were doing these appropriations. They're going to get these done. We're going to get back to how we're supposed to manage our money and this and that and whatever else. And then he goes and does something totally different. And that goes back to that list, which I started. Where's my list? I have my list, and I went over some of it last week, if I can find it, of what we have to demand of these people that are running for office. And we have to somehow pull together the information. Just because they say they America First doesn't mean they are. You really got to, if they've been in office, you've got to go check and see how they've been voting and what they've actually stood for. And then the other is to call them out and say, we've got to get somebody else. The sad part is, up in this part of the panhandle of Florida, I don't know if anybody else is going to run against this guy. If he's out there, and this is where it's going to be a tough, I don't know who the Democrat running against him is. I'm sure there's probably a Democrat, but when it comes to anybody to primary him in August, is there going to be anybody else as another choice? So am I going to just skip voting for either one of them because I don't want to vote for the swine? Or I don't want to go and promote the crap he's done. And we got to call out these people who do this. They're just the part of the problem, too. Having all these uniparties, whatever you want to call it. Karen, did you say something?
You mentioned finding out about that, but what happens when they get in there and they don't do what they say they're going to do? How about that? What do we do about that?
Well, that was the other part. There are things called recalls, but the point is that what I'm wanting to do is get something more in writing, in a written commitment. Now, you know what? Things change. There's obviously things change, and a decision could change because of it. You can understand it, but they would have to justify it. As far as I'm concerned, I can't see any good reason why they would fund NGOs. I don't see any benefit to it. So I want them to make a solid commitment that they will not fund NGOs. They will oppose them. They will put the word out there. The other part of the problem is these people get in an office. They don't want to tell anybody what's going on because they're playing games. Oh, by the way, insider trading, that should be – let's talk about a constitutional amendment. Stop the insider trading. You shouldn't be – public service isn't about self-service, but that's what these people are doing. They go up there, get rich off of us, sacrifice the people, and they get away with it. We've got to get rid of the slime out of the cesspool.
They do really with their backers. They're big backers. Whoever funds them the most money, that's what they do. They do what they're told. They're puppets.
Well, and the only way they can continue to be puppets is if we let them, which this is the other part that makes it very difficult to – please stop talking when I'm talking. This is why it's up to us to change the tone. We have got to be the ones who force the issue. Michael Johnson seems like a decent person, but he doesn't seem to have the courage or the strength, which is when – I ask people to call his office, call the Speaker of the House, call his office, say, yes, you ask us to pray for you. We are praying for you, but we don't understand what you're doing. It looks like you need to spend a little bit more time with God and get some strength and some courage because you seem to be lacking it. Even though you seem to be a person of faith, you seem to be a person who believes in the Constitution, but you're doing everything opposite. Would you explain to me why you're doing everything opposite that's going to harm our country? And I mean, I understand, while I'm not in that job, don't truly appreciate what it takes. I know there's some of this garbage to go and agree to allow 5,000 illegals over the border every day, to go and not do the funding, do all these things totally opposite of what you said you were going to do and what you say you believe. Wait a minute. If you people can't stand up together, the Matt Gaetz and Andy Biggs and some of these others, the ones that are out there really doing the job, we have those people. We have to get behind them. We have to get more of them. Excuse me.
I'd like to see them. I don't know where they are. There's a lot of people that say stuff, but I don't see held anybody held accountable for any of the crimes that they committed. Nobody.
There's, we've had some of them on the show here. One guy is James Judge, I think is his name. Excuse me. He went down to the border. He was there, and he said the border doesn't need money. They need to do their job. But right now we've got a very corrupt treason. Will we ever have a Congress that has the courage to truly charge these people with treason? When Biden is out there selling us off to China, I mean, there's all these evil things going on, and yet the Republicans stand there twiddling their thumbs and looking totally clueless and asking us to pray for them. There's a problem here. We've got to clean out the cesspool, and if we don't get the right people in there to support Trump, assuming he gets elected, then it won't make any difference. We'll be in probably worse shape if they don't do the right thing. They're out there playing massive games. Yeah, go ahead.
Did they impeach Mayorkas? Did he get impeached?
Yes. They filed the articles of impeachment, but I don't think anything else really ever happened of it. I mean, he's still there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Republicans, two or three Republicans voted not to impeach him or something like that. So they got that far, but once again, the Republicans are the weak link.
So it's just,
this is why, that's why we're going to get
They haven't had the Senate trial yet, and the Senate is stalling.
Yeah.
There you go, right there. Stall, so they can have more time to steal more taxpayers' money to send it to more money to Ukraine and more money to Israel to rebuild the new Jerusalem.
Well, and that's the point too. If Trump gets in there and we have some majority in that House and the Senate, if you don't have the majority in those two houses, nothing's going to change to do anything. And you have to get Republicans who actually believe in something, because the ones we have in there now are the Uniparty, and they play all sorts of games. What was the one representative who just resigned now because he wants to leave it hanging out there? So he's and McCarthy, the games McCarthy played. And then, of course, what the Republicans did with Santos. I mean, the Republicans, with friends like that, who needs enemies? That's the sickest part. If we don't change the culture of this Republican Party, if we think that's what's going to solve everything, we know the Democrats have been totally converted over into a communist. They were always a communist party to begin with, but they've been totally taken over. And a lot of the Republicans, too. It's the true definition, as I've said many times here. Democrats were the smart ones. Democrats were smart. They ran as Republicans, and they got elected. So the Democrats took over the Republican Party, and the Republican Party is a bunch of idiots. Those who truly claim to believe something, you only have a small handful of them willing to actually stand up for anything, to fight for anything, and to push it. And if they don't push the message out to everybody to overcome the very corrupt media, because the media is the enemy too, false information that they push out there, then we don't stand a chance. But that's, again, getting back to the Defend Florida. Go to defendflorida.org. You can see the link. Join the conversation tomorrow. See what other people, how we are trying to get people organized to do stuff. And we have done some stuff. They have done some things. The postcard campaign is going to be one of the next big issues. But vetting these people, we have to know who these people are and what they truly stand for. We've got to get the slime, the scumbags, out of office. Neil Dunn should not be a representative again, but right now I don't know if there's anybody out there running against him, which is another part of the problem. How do you try to get good people to run in such a corrupt and evil system, which is part of the problem, too.
You said get it in writing.
Yeah, go ahead.
That makes perfect sense to me. If I get a contractor to come put a roof on my house, if I leave and come back, you better not be putting windows in. If they sign a contract and say that this is what they're going to do, they must stick with it or they must be removed. Resign on Monday, put your papers on my desk, or we're coming to pull you out by your hair.
If you cannot even make a commitment to me that you will not support or sign on to vote for NGOs, then I can't vote for you.
Right.
And that's really what's going to be.
That's
there's,
right.
There's some things that are very core foundational issues.
Base
if you cannot tell me you're going to shut down these stupid wind farms and solar farms, and you're going to get us back onto fossil fuel while we continue to find ways to improve it, to clean it, whatever, so that we can all actually have heat in our house and air conditioning and whatever else. Right now they're destroying us, and what are they doing? They're sitting there. I hear very little talk from the Republicans of what they're going to do, besides Trump, to get rid of the EV mandates. That's a totally unconstitutional thing. There's absolutely no reason the government, the states, should be taken over If a state has the right to determine about the abortion, which we're not getting into an abortion discussion tonight, the state should have the right to say whether you're going to have an EV or whatever, that you would put something at that level. The federal government shouldn't be telling us we have to drive EVs that don't go anywhere and that pollute more. Once again, that's coming out more and more of the pollution of them. But if we keep letting it go on the way it is, nothing is going to change. We have to call it out. If you're going to support federal funding for solar farms that are destroying our agriculture and our land and the pollution, then I can't vote for you because you're useless. What do I need you for if you can't even do that? What are you going to do to get us out of this crazy WHO crap they're trying to do? What's that?
We have got to quit. We have got to quit sending money everywhere else but except inside our own country. All the money that we've shipped out over in the last 2 years, can you imagine what we could have done to fix this country? That's what's mind-boggling to me.
Exactly. Every person would have a home. Charity begins at home. We take care of ourselves first, then you worry about doing what you can to help the rest of the world. But that's never been the goal here anyway. It's always been this globalist insanity of one world government, one world order, playing games with the United Nations, Biden and company selling us out to China, and, of course, the COVID China, and which part of our Department of Defense was involved in all that, the DARPA stuff, the evilness from within. This could never happen without the evilness from within, and we have to accept that fact. So people have to be extremely aggressive in asking these questions and demanding that and getting rid of the dead weight that's out there now. And please, everybody call, unfortunately, I'm going to try to find that number to Tyson. You got to call Tyson, call Sarah Lee, call Jimmy Dean. They're all part of the same thing. We're boycotting you because you're going to sell out the American people for a bunch of illegals, and you're doing it for the benefit of money and playing all these games. We're not, you know, we're the ones who have to call it out. If enough people call, it will make a difference. We know it makes a difference. We've seen the difference when enough people take action. If we're all just going to sit there and talk about it, then obviously nothing else is going to happen. Well, that being said, it's a little after 9 o'clock. I'm in the central time zone. I forget what time it is half the time. We can do a quick round table and we will wrap it up and definitely say a prayer for our country. Okay, Tate, you want to go, but please keep it short, not 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this, that I believe that we have a problem and everything falls under the dollar bill, the banking system, because if you look at every problem that we have, we base it on money. And for us to be run by a government, a Zionist government, that all the political seats are held by people that have an agenda to dismantle America, open its borders, flood it with invaders, and basically genocide all European whites. And until we can hold those people accountable, remove them from office, the coup, the laws of war, book says we can do that as a people. Start at the local level. And prayer, I don't know if there's enough. If God could hear all the prayers, I don't know if he could answer them all for as many as we need. But you know what? We can try. And Joe Gibson can tell you what firsthand. I don't know about an election, but it's disheartening to think that our country's gone this far down the drain so fast, and it doesn't look good. I yield.
Okay, thank you so much. Sarge, any last words you got to share with us? Last words of wisdom for the night?
He's hitting the mute button.
Sarge? Sarge, if you're still there, I mean, I see you there, if you're not on mute. I'm sure you must have some words of wisdom to wrap us up, wrap up the show.
Probably sleeping.
Okay, well, wake up, Sarge. How could you? I don't think Sarge could sleep through too much of this. I really don't. Okay, Joe, how about you?
Look at another country that's fallen down, Haiti. Obviously, 15 to 20 people a day being kidnapped there. The place is in chaos, and they're looking for a president. Instead of fixing things themselves and rising up, which I see their point, because they don't make any guns over there. So who's giving them the guns, you know? So a lot of crimes going on around the world. But tune in about 20 minutes. I'll be on my podcast. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Okay, let's see. Cindy, are you still there? If there's anything else you want to chime in with at the last minute. I mean, I see you there, but you may be on mute or you may be getting something to drink. I don't know. Okay. Okay, and let's see. I think, Karen, I think you're the last one. Anybody, did I miss anyone else? I know that Joe from Montana dropped earlier, so I know he's not out there now. So, Karen, I'll leave it with you to wrap up the show.
Final last words, please, please, please. Either go to sovereigntycoalition.org. We fill out the petition and the letter is there. We've got to or call Mike Johnson's office and your legislative office and tell them on Wednesday's vote to defund the bill. Schumer has already indicated he will sign the treaty, but if there's no funding, it won't be easy to sign. There is an addendum to the existing treaty, which Biden will do as an executive order. An executive order is not a law. It's not a rule. It is a nothing and can easily be shut down. But the money is the problem. And what they are doing is they will make it so that the money will last through December 25. So the first year of Trump's office, he won't be able to do anything. So we've got to call Johnson's office at 203-225-2777 and tell him, throw it on, stop listening to the McCarthy holdover, and defund the WHO. That is it for today.
Hey, and your show Sunday, what's Saturday, Sunday, what's coming up this weekend?
Okay, well, my show this weekend is going to be talking more about the Senate. We have a system of the Black initiative. We're describing what's going on in the Black community and how they have been weakened by the Democrats, and how the Republicans never go through the Black community and tell them the truth about the Republican Party and how the Republican Party was actually created to end slavery. They said the Blacks don't believe it. They even think that Lincoln...
You're breaking up. All of a sudden, you're starting to break up some on their phone.
Okay, so they even believe that Lincoln was a Democrat. Now, you've got to set the record straight and tell them a little bit about American history. So their show is on the American Conservative TV Network on Saturday and Sunday. 7 in the morning before 6 p.m.
And I don't know what happened to your phone all of a sudden. I heard you say Saturday, but it's breaking up really bad. I'm not sure what's happening with your phone.
You're losing the battery.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Saturday and Sunday Saturday and Sunday, 7 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon, and the America Out Loud News. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. And the phone numbers, excuse me, to Tyson Foods, there's two phone numbers. Make sure you call both of them. 1-800-643-3410. Again, that's 1-800-643-3410. And then the other one is 1-800-233-6332. 1-800-233-6332. That's their corporate number. The other number is their customer service number. And give them an earful of what you think about what they've done with firing the Americans so they can hire the illegals, selling out America, and that you're not going to buy their products. We do know if people boycott the products, it does make a difference too. Tyson is a big player out there. That's why someone mentioned to me, Sara Lee and Jimmy Dean are part of them. So we have to send a message. We have caused a few stores to close and things like that because we boycotted them, so we can do this as well. So with that being said, thank you, everybody. It's been a very lively discussion. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you got some good info out of it. And make just understand where we're at. We have got a major, major evil takeover of this country, and we have got to stop it. And it's going to be us. It's not going to be anybody else. It is going to be we the people who are going to do it. And I should mention, oops, I forgot something. I'm going to throw this out there. We can talk more about it next week. Something in reference, this kind of, some people believe this ties into the COVID stuff or whatever. Whatever they're doing with the chemicals out there. Florida Keys, the fish are dying. It's actually the last thing on the show page. Literally, this has been seen in different places. The fish are swimming in circles. They're like going nuts out there. So beware that something else is happening. And that probably ties into, who knows, it may tie into April 8th. I don't know. But seriously, go to that link and see the fish swimming in circles. They're talking about the Florida Keys, but that's not the only place it's happening. Sorry. I meant to mention that earlier. I didn't want to leave that off.
When you said that, I started thinking about Alex Jones and the gay frog.
Anyway, with that being said, again, please get engaged. We've got to talk to each other. We've got to, if you can find a person out there who tells me their life is much better since Biden took over, and I want to hear them. I want to talk to them. I want them to share why their life is better today and why they think they should vote for Biden again, especially with their vice presidents on the standby there. So we need to do that. But again, it was an excellent discussion. Enjoyed it. Please tune in again next week. We will have Dr. Tolbert on. We will be talking about Easter and a little bit more about the religion in this country, you know, our foundation and why religion matters, why religion should be eliminating some of this evilness we have in our Congress and of our elected representatives today. So thanks again. Please tune in next week. Have a great evening, and God bless America. I love my country, but it is my government I am afraid of. Say a prayer for America. Thank you, everyone. Talk to you next week.
Bye.